Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
All right, we're here. We're here, good peoples. And just a little quick PSA. We decided to take a break because, you know, it was Halloween. And some people on this podcast decided to go a little crazier than others. I'm not going to name any names, Meech. But let's just say it ended off with somebody going after the Lorax. I'm not going to lie.
All right. Yeah. So I got a little bit hectic, but we are back this week. Obviously, you can see we are talking about Predator Badlands, the newest entry into the Predator Alien franchise. So with that, we're going to also next week, we're going to be covering Magneto. We're going to do a character study, a long awaited Magneto character study. For that, but before we get into anything, because we have something we need to touch on before we review the movie, let's hit that legal spiegel.
All right, the purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by the respective company, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
All right, so before we jump to Predator Badlands, there was some bigger news in the world of nerddom. There was another delay that you texted me right when I just got out of Predator Badlands, which kind of ruined my day. But Meech, if you want to touch on a certain delay that occurred.
All right, good peoples. So unfortunately, there was a special, a movie that, oh, not a movie, I'm sorry, a game that everybody has been anticipating for, a game that people have been waiting 13 years for, and it got, and this was a game that got its trailer, the first trailer in 2023. So yeah, in case you didn't know, Grand Theft Auto 6 got delayed once again to November 19th, 2026. What? Come on, man. Come on, Rockstar.
Dog, this is insane.
And their reasonings this time is in order to bring you an experience you all rightfully deserve. What? Excuse me? Y'all had 13 years. 13 years to get it together, man. But
that's not... See, this is like my point with what was it? With the Mortal Kombat movie that we talked about, like part two, where it was like you felt okay to it was supposed to release in October of this year, and then now they delayed it until next year. So I'm kind of like, you felt okay to drop a trailer, drop a release date. You looked at the movie, you finished the production, and you're like, yo, this is good. Let's release it now. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, no, let's push it back. So for this game, like you said, with the trailer dropping, breaking records, and they're like, was it supposed to initially come out this year before the first delay?
Yep.
Like, end of this?
It was supposed to come out the month before.
Yeah, so it was supposed to come out earlier this year. Then all of a sudden, it was just like, let's push it to May 2026. And then now, like, you're... What is it, like 7-8 months out before it was supposed to release? And you're just like looking at it and you're like, you know what? We need another year to actually get it done. So to me, I'm looking at it and I'm like, hey, were you just going to release crap and let us play crap? Or were you going to actually like create a good game. Like, that's the crazy part for me, where no one's forcing you to have a release date. There isn't a time limit on it. Don't announce it if you don't have it finished and completed, because you're just going to tick us off even more. And I mean, like, everyone that's like upset about it, it's not going to stop them from playing it unless the game comes out. But it will, some people might be like, hey, I'm not going to buy it when it's $100 with like the extra DLC bonuses and stuff like that. I'm going to just wait maybe 2 more months to get it for like $59.99 or something like that. It's just like, it hurts the fan base and the credibility for you to just keep delaying it for no reason. Well, I guess there is a reason, but like, what are you really doing though if you have to keep delaying it?
Well, also, I have 2 points to make. All right. Well, the first one has like no, well, actually has a little bit of a tie-in. So firstly, you know what this reminds me of?
What?
A certain episode we did about a certain game. a certain game day before. Because remember, there was a bunch of delays on that.
Yes.
Especially close to release. And we got nada. But in any case, it's...
What was your second point?
My second point is, all right, so at the time of this recording, audiences, it is November 8th. Do you remember what was supposed to drop yesterday?
No, what was?
Blade.
I mean, that was in purgatory from the start.
And also, New York Comic Con also had announced about Avengers Secret Wars that was supposed to come out yesterday too.
Yeah. Nah.
Yeah, so apparently this is the year of delays, I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, they get the, well, with Hollywood, they at least get the strike, quote unquote, benefit. GTA does not, they don't get any benefit of the doubt. I mean, Jesus might come back before this, we play GTA 6, so.
You're right.
We might be cooked.
Unfortunately.
All right, so we will get into a pre-spoiler chat for Predator Badlands. There's nothing you really need to know going in. I guess you just need to be aware of who the Weyland Yutani Corporation is.
Yep. Basically, if you've seen an Alien movie franchise, you good.
Yeah, just aware of what the Simps are and the main company that the Simps go for. And then the only other thing, it's not even really a spoiler because the movie explains it within, is that the actual Predator, we usually just call them the Predators, but their actual, not clan name, but like alien species is called the Yautja.
Yep.
So Yautja. Within the movie and without, throughout the course of the review, we'll kind of be going back and forth between both names of it. So I think that's pretty much all we need to know. Anything else pre-spoiler?
And of course, I like to come in with like, oh, hey, who made the movie? This is probably going to be something I'm going to start doing now. So this movie was directed by Dan Trachtenberg. In case you want to know who Dan Trachtenberg is, well, he went on and made his first debut with 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I enjoy that movie.
Yep, I enjoy that movie. He directed Prey.
Return to form. He saved the franchise after The Predator.
Mm-hmm. And then on the TV side, he did the first episode of The Boys.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This man got he got some things on his belt.
And then I think he was also involved in Predator Killer of Killers, which was the animated form.
Yes, yes. He also directed that one. So 3 of his films are Predator movies, and 1 is of the Cloverfield franchise. This man's good. It's good. This movie also had a budget of $105 million. And of course, since it just came out, we can't tell you like how much it grossed at the box office just yet. It's also 107 minutes long, aka an hour 47.
Pristine. All right. So with that, we will be getting into our Predator Badlands review in 3, 2, 1.
All right. So firstly, this movie begins with just straight hands, just straight hands, feet, just brawling with 2 predators. The first one we learn is Quay. If I'm mispronouncing anything like that, because I don't speak Yautja, we got Quay, and then we got Deck. And for the rest of this, I'm just going to call him Demetrius, because the actor who plays Deck is named Demetrius. Demetrius Schuster Goloamatangi.
Good luck with that.
I butchered that name, but I'm just going to call him Demetrius for the rest of the thing, because he my boy. So
go for it.
Yeah, so essentially they fighting, but it turns out they're brothers. So this is just your standard younger sibling brawl. If you have siblings, you understand. And Deck is of course the youngest and the smallest of the ones. Could say he's a runt, if you will. And he basically, his dad is like very ashamed of him. Najorai. Do not know how to pronounce his name. Najor. And so essentially, Deck is...
I never knew what the dad's name was.
Yeah. That's his name. That's his name. But yeah, so Demetrius, he's going out. He's wanting to get daddy's approval. He wants to be like, hey, I want to please father. Please the clan. And he wants to go to the planet Gemma, which is apparently full of just hell on Earth. It's full of just dangerous creatures. And he wants to go after the biggest one called the Kalisk, which is apparently unkillable. So yeah, it's like, all right. And now then his daddy comes in. He's basically he's chastising Quay's like, hey, listen, you calling my boy Demetrius right now. You're spoiling him. But Quay, he's like, hey, I just want to give him a good chance. Give him a chance to fight. But daddy's like, kill your brother right here, right now.
Yeah, that was crazy because Quay was like, hey, Dad, I can't let you do this hunt the callus because it's unkillable. Choose something else. And then Deck was like, yo, I'm going to do this. So then when the Pops comes, he's like, yo, Pops, I'm going to do this. I'm going to hunt the callus. And he's like, yo, you're supposed to kill him in his sleep. Why are you still alive? And then Quay was like, yo, let him run the fair ones with his hunt. And the dad was like, no, it was a weakling. Kill him. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, dang. So then... Quay, you know, he developed a heart. It's like, hey, at least let our boy prove himself. And he said, freeze Deck from his bindings.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Deck, go. And I'm going to hold daddy off.
Mm.
And that was the last time you ever saw Quay because yeah. Packed up immediately.
And it was really interesting with this scene because I didn't know from their culture that you had to like earn your cloak. Which was one of the key things in kind of just like every Predator movie. Every Predator has a cloak, which they use consistently. And it's like one of their biggest advantages in the entire like franchise. So when we get into later in the movie, we'll kind of discuss how that was a good decision.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So essentially like from there, you had like Deck. He is mad. But he manages to leave in a ship. You know, he's flying to Gemma. He's getting completely bombarded by debris, and he escapes and he lands in the forest, only to immediately be attacked by some vines.
This is an incredible scene because we see him like having all his weapons, right? All the like the tools, the bombs, the sensor that like goes on the shoulder,
yep.
Everything else. And they immediately take that away from him, like from the jump, just to like put him at like minus one, if you will. So that was, I think, an incredible decision. And it shows immediately how dangerous every part of the planet is, because the moment he lands, it is on go.
Yep, because it's like, all right, I'm starting at 100, and then it's just like mini video games where, like, hey, you start off like completely overpowered at like max prestige, and then they nerf you back to level one.
Yeah,
just so you can have a taste of what greatness feels like. So now you have motivation to grind up.
Black Myth Wukong.
Black Myth Wukong, The Force Unleashed, God of War 2.
Yes.
Dang, there's actually a lot of games that are like that. That's crazy. But yeah, so, all right, so now he lost all his weaponry. The Vines already got it, but he escaped. Now he's going through the needle plants, and you're just like, bro,
it's not even the worst part.
Planet. Even I'm just like, dang, this. Nah, I'm just leaving. I'm just leaving. I'm
yes,
taking somewhere else. But essentially, like he's essentially getting bombarded left and right. He can't navigate it. Then he hears a voice that's calling to him, and it turns out it's Thea, our next main character of the movie. Thea, played by Elle Fanning, or Mary Elle Fanning. I don't care. But yeah, so essentially from here, like, she's very...
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Damn it, she's trapped on the cliffside. And essentially, like, she's like, hey, I need some help. You need some help. Like, you just give me a weapon to free me, and I can let you navigate the whole field. And then, and of course, Demetrius's struggles only continues because of the fact that there's now a flying creature.
That was crazy. And I like how smart the creature was. It was essentially a pterodactyl for the purpose of this conversation. And it was like just dropping rocks because that would activate the plant needles that were paralytic, that had paralytic needles, which eventually got him, but not until after he threw the weapon towards Tia. And then she managed to save him and then restored him with a antidote. And then he picks her up. She's like, take me with you. And we just see that she has no legs. Yeah. And so she's ascended and she's looking for her other half, Tessa. And they like essentially ran into the Kalisk and bad things happened. So she was like, hey, let me help. Please let me go with you. And he's like, no, the Outja hunt alone. And she's like, but I can be helpful. I can be useful. And he's like, a tool? So that was funny. I really like how in this, they kind of treat Deck as, Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy, where he had to play so straight laced that it is kind of funny to an extent.
Yeah. Yeah. And unlike other like mainstream, like Predator movies, I think like this is probably one of the main ones where this Predator has like a distinct personality.
Yes.
That, and it's such a distinct personality that like you can't help but to root for him. Mm-hmm. Whether unlike like other films where it's just treated as the monster and the thing that you want to get rid of, unless you're talking AVP, but we do not talk about AVP.
We talk about the first one slightly, but not the second
one. Okay. We talk about AVP. We do not talk about AVPR.
But what, to your point with like how they kind of like gave him a personality, I saw kind of like discussions on like the visual effects that they used for it and like how they made it also with practical effects. Like, he was rarely expressive, and a lot of the times in the original Predator movies, one, you don't see their face because they're cloaked like 70% of the time, and then the other 90% of the time they have a mask on, and they don't usually take off the mask until like the very like final battle, and it's just like rage on their face, and it's usually like the running joke of the you're one ugly fill in the blank. But but with this one, since he didn't have the mask from the start, you could see the expression, the emotions on their faces and stuff, which I thought was a really a good touch if you're going to make the Predator the protagonist of the movie.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, all right, so now that we continue moving on, the pair, the duo, if you will, they're going out, they going through through razor grass, to which, again, I'm just like, get off this planet. And Demetrius is constantly getting cut by it. Then a massive
bone bass.
The bone creature. I'm just going to call it Kimimaro from Naruto. If you know, you know. So, listen, I'm just going to give all these things names based on...
It was called the bone bison.
I don't care if it's called the bone bison. I'm calling it Kimimaro. So, Kimimaro doesn't stay long for this world because essentially he... Demetrius goes and kills it in a very, very elaborate action-based sequence, you know, getting past his armor. But eventually... Like, they end up coming across another little guy, very non-threatening, adorable for some people. And Thea names it Bud. And Bud goes and he keeps Demetrius from getting eaten by another beast in the trees. Again, what is this planet?
Death.
That's going to be my recurring line. It's like, what is this planet?
It's funny. I feel like this planet was more dangerous than the planet on that the preservatory on Predators, that movie where they had to get hunted.
Oh, yeah. 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 That one with Topher Grace. But that one is kind of. That one's bad, but it's not as bad as this.
Yes. This one is awful.
Yeah. This is like. Everything but the air is trying to kill you.
That is true.
How do you do that? But all right, so after this, you got a Bud who now joins the crew, and he treats Demetrius as family. But Demetrius, he ain't about that, so he just keeps on moving without Bud. I'm like, bro, what's the matter with you?
Something important at this part, but. Essentially spits on the Predator, and that is a way of Tia says that is a way of claiming him as one of their own clan, so that's very important towards the middle part of the movie.
Absolutely. So this is basically kind of like he's forming his own tribe, his own clan, if you will, a clan of rejects. But you know, hey, so a long while later they make it to the lair of the Kalisk. And they also find Thea's legs.
Uh-huh.
And she finally gets her legs again. But unfortunately, she contacts Weyland Yutani. And then the Kalisk comes back. And that thing is a monster.
Unit, yeah.
Is a true monster among monsters. They fight. Like, Demetrius fights. And he realizes just why is it called unkillable. That thing has... High speed regeneration. Think Majin Buu. Think Cell. Think Zamasu. And he even cuts its head off, and then it starts reattaching its head. It's like, bro.
I'm like, this is ridiculous. So also in a parallel running storyline, because this is kind of where the two converge, Tessa, who is another simp, but is essentially a copy of Tia, who is also have. Emotions as a synth. She has been recovered by Weyland Yutani. They essentially bring her back online. They figure out, hey, you failed your mission. And it doesn't really take a lot to like kind of figure out what the mission was. Is that, oh, they were also in parallel looking for the Kalisk. They're like, hey, if you don't complete the mission, we are going to decommission you. And then also she's aware that now there is a Yautja on the planet, and they're like, hey, do what you need to do. Acquire the main target. So throughout that, we see Tessa. She goes to the fallen Deck's fallen ship, which is also important. So she takes a lot of that weaponry, uses it into the hunt, and she's also, you know, looking for Tia at the same time. So as like you said, Tia sends the beacon, the Kalos arrives, and then this is where Tessa pulls up.
Yep. So essentially, everything's looking bad. The Kalos start smelling Bud. Smelling Bud on Demetrius, and then Tessa arrives, and captures both the Kaliskan deck. And then Tia, she's like, hey, Tessa, do not kill Deck. And then Tessa agrees, but then she still tortures the man.
Yeah, she's like, let's get a sample.
Yeah, we still need a sample. And this is when she realizes, like, oh, snap, Tessa's too far gone. She drunk the Weyland Yutani Kool-Aid. She too far gone. And essentially, Tia, she's considered defective, expendable.
And this is really interesting because you can see these two parallel storylines. You know, Weyland Yutani, especially if you just watch Alien Earth or any other Alien movie, they're like, hey, get these samples. Don't worry about nothing else. Get the samples. That's the only primary mission. If you fail, we're just going to get someone else to do it. Do not fail. That's our primary mission. You are a tool, a weapon for this. And throughout the movie, Deck is like, for Tia, he only calls her a tool. He's like, tool, I need you, tool, you're unuseful if you're not talking. And she gets like upset with him. And they have this conversation about alphas and wolves and how the alpha wolf protects the pack when he leaves Bud, because she's really upset about him leaving Bud. And so with that, it's kind of like, you can't just like treat people like that, or creatures, I guess, in this case, like that. And you see that he's only using her as a tool. And then you also see Weyland Yutani only uses them as a tool. And Tessa embraces that. But Tia, you know, is kind of rebelling. And we see here as Deck finally, and then also like there's the part where she kind of betrays him by sending the beacon, and it was really funny like when she shot the gun to like distract the Kalisk, and she thought he was running to save her, and he just picked up the gun and he's like, save yourself. But you can see kind of like that shift in like, oh, let me not just use you as a tool, as he decides later to like come and save her.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so essentially this is where, you know, like, again, Deck is being tortured. Essentially, like, they just want to know, like, how his weaponry works, and how it works. But, and then Thea's translating for him. But essentially, like, she managed to go, like, you know what? Screw you guys. And manages to convince the torturer into setting off an explosive that... They say that, oh yeah, this is just a toy. Now, boom. Yeah, it was hilarious. But Demetrius escapes. He finds Bud. And then he learns, like, oh, hold on, the Kallus, that's your mama. Ooh.
That was a nice little twist, because like Bud looks like a monkey dillo type thing, and it's like really small. And when you see the Kallus, you're like, how does this even translate one to one?
Again, like, how does this even grow up to become that? Is it because like you all are different like genders, maybe?
Who knows?
It'd be like, because the guys turn into that and then the moms turn into that. I don't know. I'm not here to find out, because I'm getting off this wrong. I wouldn't even be on Planet Gemma. But essentially, he's like, all right, I ain't got my weapons, but I am going to get, I do have these hands. So he goes back on the planet to all the creatures that he killed, and he makes armor.
Yes.
He makes armor out of everything, like from the plants to the hides, from caterpillars, because apparently caterpillars explode on this planet.
Yeah.
What the heck? Because why not?
They're like mines, essentially. I like this part because it's like a good callback to like the best of the previous Predator installments, where you see they're at their lowest, clearly, especially in the first one, get it out the mud. I have to go primal with this, use all the tools, all the lessons that I've learned and focused on from the beginning of the movie in order to like finish my final hunt and take down this Predator, or in this case, take down Tessa and her synth brethren.
Yep. And it's it. And again, like, this is also like a great like inversion of that, because it's usually the main human character who has to get in the mud against the Predator. Now it's Demetrius who's getting out the mud to take down some human looking characters, if you will. Mm-hmm. So yeah, interesting. So Demetrius, he goes in, goes on a swath, goes on a warpath, murking foe left and right, kills the entire synth security team. And then Tessa comes back with a cargo loader. And if you're familiar with Alien 2, you know what time it is. So get your hands off her, you crazy. It fill in the blank. So now we got Demetrius the Predator fighting against Tessa the synth of alien fame. And now Thea escapes and Bud with her legs. They release the callus. They release Mama to put in work. And essentially, like, Callus MVP just came in, eats Tessa whole.
Yes. So
until,
yeah. So we thought it was victory. The Mama Callus acknowledges, well, one, her child, and then also Deck at the scene. But then all of a sudden she gets the worst case of indigestion, blows up. It's kind of like when Squidward ate too many Krabby Patties. It was like, and then you blow up. So with that, we see Tessa coming out looking crazy with it, and she's about to eat her, but Deck pulls up from behind, takes her out. Then Bud takes Tessa's head off with that. So then it's like, hey, you are now Deck of the Yacha, and Deck is like, not yet. So we go back to his home planet, Yacha Prime, pulls up on his pops. He's like, hey man, give me my cloak, I'm done playing with you. And Pops is like, you were supposed to be dead. But if I will be more than happy to oblige. And then when Deck tosses the head of Tessa, obviously the dad doesn't know what it is. So he's like, yo, what is this crap? Handle my lightweight to two guards. Deck immediately takes them out. Then Pops is like, okay, maybe the right son survived, but I'm going to take you out now. So they have their fight. Again, what we talked about with the cloaking, Pops pulls out the cloak, but Deck, who has, like, you know, good survival sense, he uses his engine from his ship, kicks up a lot of dust. So now you can kind of see him, his pops within it, takes his pops out in a similar manner to how he took out how his brother got taken out. Like, he catches his hand with kind of like the makeshift claws that he has, cuts his arm off, and then he's like, pops is like, hey, good job, boy, you can join the clan now.
Yeah, you all grown up now. You got that dog in you.
Nah, I'm my own clan now. So he doesn't cut his head off. He, like, does something to him, and then Bud, who is grown now, well, partially grown, comes and eats his head. And then with that, we think it's over. Well, he takes his pop's cloak, so now he's, like, officially a fully formed Yautja. And then it has, like, a really quick, like, break of, like, oh, the movie's over, but then comes back, and then we see another huge warship, and Tia's like, hey, is that, like, friends of yours, or is that more for your pops? And it's like, nah, that's my mom. End of movie.
Ah, dang it. That's my mama.
So you already know mom is, like, not playing, especially if she wasn't living with pops.
Nah. And also, like, is it me or was her ship bigger?
It was much bigger.
Like, that ship was bigger. She mama's must got the...
I don't think we've ever seen a woman predator before.
We haven't. That's the thing.
So that'd be interesting. So yeah, that was essentially the review. One thing that I was a bit surprised about, but I'm actually kind of happy that they didn't do it. I thought they would tease, like, an alien predator crossover. I mean, the only thing they had was just, like, the Weyland Yutani thing. But I mean, it was just like a showing that this exists within the universe, but they didn't really, like, converge with it. But I think I appreciated how contained it was for it, because I feel like sometimes when you try to set up another movie, it hurts your own movie if it's too focused that way. And this was really about Deck's story of becoming his own Yacha.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Again, this is like your standard hero's journey, if you will, like a journey of discovery. And this is, like, definitely, like, one of those cases where I think, like, it really sells the job well. And I really think, like, it's a case where you can really find yourself rooting for the Yacha, find yourself rooting for the Yacha just as much as you would like a regular person.
Uh-huh.
Because again, he basically is the main character.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I really like this one and really like to see.
Yeah, it was definitely a bold choice. Yeah. When I first saw it, I was like, can you really do this? Something that we've talked about is like, since we both like horror movies, something we've talked about is like, once you humanize like the main monster or whatever, you kind of in some cases make it less scary. But what they did here was like, hey, this is a creature that is existing within a culture of different beings. Some beings you can see, like the Pops, is more evil or ruthless than the others. And this is just another example. Even like in the first Alien versus Predator movie, where it's like the Predators did kill some humans, like if they were messing around. But ultimately, like the final Predator, when he went up and he teamed up with the main girl in the movie against the giant alien, is like, we will acknowledge you as a great warrior. And we've seen that throughout all of the Predator movies, is like, they will acknowledge you if you are like strong enough to like handle them or can like give them a good hunt. So yeah, and like even like showing the face the entire movie, it's like, oh, because like one thing that I was kind of concerned about, like if you make a future Predator movie, are they now as scary as originally they've been in the past?
I honestly think you can still make them scary, especially like even with this movie, you know, with having the main character be a Predator, right? It all goes back to like intent. And like the malicious intent, like you can have a Predator actually be, like you can make a Predator be a whole monster,
yes,
and be like the worst thing on the planet. Look at Prey. Look at Predators 1 and 2 for main inspirations.
And so, what they kind of try to do with the Predator
kind of failed.
Yes,
but really, if you. Yeah, you can do it, but I do think like we're slowly getting to a point where like the Predator has been around so much and it's like kind of ingrained into like pop culture media that it's starting to become an icon in and of itself. Like the likes of like Jason, Freddy, Michael, like you don't really go in rooting for the main people. You came in just to see how these main villains gets to doing what they do best.
That's a good point, yeah.
So we might be at that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been around about 40 years or so. So, and then we also see something with that, kind of like with the humanization part of it, the nature versus nurture aspect of it. We touched on like the simps being tools and stuff like that with Tessa and Tia, but we see Deck, he's like, yo, Yautja hunt alone. I mean, we see that in almost every movie except for AVP and then Predators kind of. Where we just see a single Predator and that's all that's needed to carry the movie with this. And we see like with the culture of like, hey, if you, I forgot what the Pop said to the brother, but it was essentially forgiving weakness is the same as weakness itself. And that needs to be cold. And we see how cruel that is. So for Deck to get to the point where he's now making a pack with a Kallusk, which he was sent to hunt, which is crazy because we almost never see the Predators like change what they're hunting. Again, because we don't really know them. And then to the fact that like embracing Tia as one of his own clan as well is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I definitely agree. Definitely agreed there. No words spoken for this one.
All right. So future of the franchise?
Honestly, I think there's a couple ways this can go. Like, again, like there's this teaser of the mother. And honestly, there's a bunch of teasers that have been teasing like each Predator movie that has not been followed up on. I'm still thinking about the Predator armor in, was it The Predator?
I don't think we will ever see that again. I think that is non-canon now.
Like, there's that, there's, again, like, there's this whole thing with the mothership, and, of course, with this growing connection with the Weyland-Yutani, and seeing like more of the alien lore get pushed in.
Mm-hmm.
There's two ways this can go. This is either can like lead to more Predator films with like, again, featuring Deck and the mother. Like he could be potentially our new protagonist, if you will. or we potentially get another AVP.
It's interesting. I feel like there's no realm in which we don't see that crossover, considering the fact that the previous two movies were so bad. I think it's in the vein of like Godzilla versus Kong, where like the first one, obviously like the time span is much different, but the first Godzilla Kong is like 50s, 60s, and they're like, hey, we have the properties of both these monsters. They got a box with, you know, Disney owning them, doing a lot of crossovers with the Marvel and stuff like that. Oh, they definitely at some point. It's just interesting because I think there's going to be another season of Alien Earth, which is a prequel to all the other Alien movies. And then I can't remember where AVP takes place in the time lore of it. I can't remember if where it is.
I think AVP takes place,
because if it's modern day, then Alien Earth can do the crop, but I don't know when.
I think AVP is supposed to take place before all of that.
So it's possible, because we know, and then obviously there's the comics that you can also pull from, but I feel like they would definitely have it. And if we were to have Deck as like kind of the lead, and maybe we have Deck as the lead, and maybe he's gone up against the hybrids and the aliens, because we saw that they were kind of in the xenomorphs, because they were kind of teaming up. But I just, again, don't know the, like, the time frame and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, hey, even if it doesn't like line up timeline wise, you could still like have it be like, because of the fact that the xenomorphs and the hybrids are kind of universal, if you will, like.
And also, like, the time travel of it, of, like, intergalactic travel, you can always just be like, yo, this time took this, and this is how it transferred and stuff like that. So, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. We can go anyway.
But as long as they're smart with it, just don't put it together just to put it together. That's kind of my thing.
Agreed.
All right, so let's get into awards. All right, so for my first award, I have Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. This is going to Deck and his clan. Obviously, them working together to not only free Tia initially, but Tia and her lower half, which was crazy, just seeing like legs fight and actually defeat other simps. Which we kind of got to talk about the other simps and how useless they were. But we all know they were just like, you know, stormtrooper fodder.
Yep.
But essentially, like them working together, getting to free the Callus teaming up to defeat, you know, kind of another throwback to, like you mentioned, aliens with that. So Teamwork Makes the Dreamer.
All right. And then for my first award, I'm actually gonna do a reverse of one we all have. It's called Take Me There Never. And this, if in case you did not know, this goes to locations that I will never go in my entire life. And if you force me there, I will just end it all, because I will not. This goes to Planet Gemma, because what the heck?
Yeah, it's unlovable.
That is more inhospitable than Planet Vampa in Dragon Ball Super Broly. Like, you have to be like built different in order to live there.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm good.
All right, for my second and for my final award, I have the humbling, and this goes to the Papa Yacha, coming up at the beginning, throwing all that shade he did at Deck, wanting to take him out, calling him a runt, calling him like the disgrace of the clan, also killing the brother. To not only have that, but then have him pull up on you later in the movie, defeat you, and then take your cloak. Incredible. So I got to give the humbling to him, because he absolutely got wrecked at the end of the movie.
Yes. And then for my last award, it's also a new award. It's called Getting It Out the Mud, which is when a character is, again, at their lowest point and they use whatever is around them to go and get the dub, especially against those who are technologically or have more resources than them. And they still managed to get the dub. Oh, yeah, you getting it out the mud on this one. Come on here, Deck, Demetrius. You deserve this, because there should be, like, no reasonable way for you to, like, use the resources of the planet that you were on to be able to take out your papa, but with all of his resources. But you did, because you able to get it out the mud, because you showed that you got that grit. You got that dog in you.
Yes. All right, so for that, now that we wrapped up awards, let's get into the tiers of the movie.
All right, so my tiers, it has a pretty interesting theme, if you will. So for the F tier, I call it AVPR. For my D tier, I call it The Predator. For my C tier, I go AVP. For B tier, I give Prey. A tier, Predator 2, and then S of the S tier, top of the top, Predator 1. Demetrius, what are you giving this movie?
I'm gonna give it the B tier, the Predator 2. It was definitely a solid, a solid movie. It was fun. I had a good time. It's just not Prey, and it's just not Predator 1. But I would definitely want to see it again. Definitely want to see more of it. So definitely give it a B tier.
Yeah, I definitely would give it a B tier as well. Like, this is like a good, like, it's a good story, and again, it's a good follow up to Prey. Like you can tell, like, a good upward trajectory that they're going on, or at least maintaining the same level of quality and consistency.
Yes.
But yeah, kind of like you, I don't consider this better than Prey, and or at least on the outset, I don't consider it better than Prey, but it darn sure is not better than Predator 1 or 2, in my opinion. But it's definitely in the upper echelon. It's not in the land of Predators, AVPR, or The Predator. So it's nowhere near those
It was
categories.
a fun sci-fi flick. So yeah.
Exactly.
Which
Exactly.
is what you need, yeah.
A good coming of age story.
All right, so with that, we are going to transition quickly into the what's hot. We know that we missed last week, so more things have dropped, more things have released. I will go quickly because I only have two main things that I might forget. In the world of gaming, something that I was supposed to mention 2 weeks ago, but I forgot the name of it. Dispatch is a game made by Critical Role, well, in conjunction of Critical Role, from the people that made the Telltale series. With that, has been going stupid. A lot of gamers are playing it, dropping their playthroughs of it. So that is something that has been handled incredibly well. And
Count your days, Shroud. Count your days.
so yes, I am watching part six of it. One of a streamer doing it now. I know next week should be the final where they drop episode 7 and 8. So that's going to be interesting. And then in terms of movies, something that I saw, Kill Bill: The Whole Bloody Affair,
Yeah.
will be released in theaters December 5th as the whole thing, part one, volume one and volume two together, with some minor adjustments and changes.
Honestly, I'll say with that, I hope they have intermission.
I 100% because I think it totals 4 hours. So I'm definitely, you either have to intermission it or you just have to remember a part that you know from heart and then leave from there.
True, true.
So yeah. So what you got?
All right, so Realm of Anime, of course, again, Gachi Akuta, One Piece is actually about to go on break again.
Till April, right?
Yep. It's about to go on break. Again, we also have, My Hero going dummy.
Oh, I gotta watch today's episode.
We also have Spy Family getting back to its wholesome days after the flashback
Trauma.
of trauma. But we're back in the glory days, so we're good, we're good, we're good. And then moving on to comic books, right? These are like comics I'm going to recommend, especially in the nature of this episode. You have Wolverine versus Predator. You have Black Panther versus Predator. And you have Spider-Man versus the Predator. Honestly, out of the three, I actually enjoyed Spider-Man's the most.
Really?
Yeah. Like the Wolverine one actually makes like a lot of sense. But like the Spider-Man one, it involves characters that you realistically was like, yeah, you're right. They should be the ones fighting the Predator. And also, you got a serial killer Predator. I'm not talking about like a hunter. No, this one's a legit serial killer going crazy. And it all leads up to to an event called Predator Kills the Marvel Universe. So,
Didn't Marvel just finish a storyline with the Xenomorphs as
oh
well?
yeah, they have like a bunch of those in comic books. Like, I think it's like Avengers versus Aliens.
Because there was one where I think it was Miles. He had a symbiote. Somebody had a symbiote that was also xenomorphed
That was
out.
Miles.
Yeah.
Yep, that was Avengers versus the aliens.
Nice.
And yes, and then of course, we continuing on, you know, Ultimate Universe is slowly ending. I'm crying actual tears. But also we have the movie. I mean, not the movie. The absolute Batman. I'm gonna need you to get out of Gotham. I'm not even gonna lie to you, because like they just released more like art of the absolute Joker.
Really?
Nah, I'm getting Bruce. Please, for all that is good in this world, you need to leave Gotham.
I gotta see this.
Oh yes, he's about to get. We're about to get his reaction in real time.
What?
Hell,
that's worse than the first one.
Hell, that's where we are. Darkseid despises Batman.
No, I'm not doing it. Gotham is on their own.
Yeah, absolute Gotham. I'm like, hold on, where's Superman at?
Help.
Wonder Woman, help me.
There is no Justice League.
Actually, there is a Justice League.
They're villains.
And it's land of by Joker. Help.
Oh, no.
Oh, so yeah.
And this Joker is controlling Bane.
Yes, he's controlling the 1,000-foot abomination that is Bane. He has Bane on his payroll. And yet we got the Joker of Hell. No, get out. But yeah, continuing on from there, we also have in the realm of TV series, Star Wars Visions came out for season 3. And some of these episodes, absolutely beautiful. Like you got the third follow-up from the much beloved The Duel, which is, or with the Ronin.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yes. No, all black and white or monochromatic except for the lightsaber colors. It's amazing. And yeah, if you want to see more Alien v Predator franchise, just watch Alien Earth. So we got that in there with you again. The Love is Blind is finally over with. So all right, so we're free people. We are finally free. But speaking of people who are not free, it Welcome to Derry.
I gotta catch up. I gotta start it. I heard it's good.
You gotta start, sir.
It's only been 2 episodes as of now, so.
Sir. You need to hop on that. You need to hop on that as soon as you get off this call.
I'm gonna watch it, sir. I heard it goes crazy.
First episode goes crazy enough, and then it keeps going. At this point, I'm crying. I'm like, how in the world? Listen. This is not a spoiler because it hasn't happened yet. But in the end credits.
Mm-hmm.
It shows Pennywise with a blick taking somebody out. I'm like, when is this happening? When did he have tools? I'm scared.
I'm here for it.
Yes. And then, of course, as you know, and of course, we mentioned everything in the realm of video gaming with the delay and Dispatch going absolutely stupid. Yes. And as of this time, I think it's 5 days or so until the last 2 episodes drop.
So I think, yeah, when this episode releases, the final episode of Dispatch will be out.
Yes. Yeah, so, but again, as I said, count your days, Shroud, because just know 100% of players are going to kill you.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying about that. So that's all I got. All
right. And then just quickly for, again, movies, Zootopia 2 is coming out soon. Wicked for Good. And then The Running Man comes out this week, which I'm super excited for to watch. And then another teaser that we would have covered last week, but we were off. Godzilla Minus Zero.
Yes.
Teaser released.
Yes. I'm excited. I'm ready. I had a talk with B-Dog the other day, and we were both like, yes, it's time. Just... for the love of God, please don't let anything bad happen to Noriko. Please. Focus on different people. I do not care. Just leave them alone.
Well, I'm scared because Godzilla had like instant regeneration after he like blew up and like disintegrated. So I don't know if he's resting or if it's going to be like an immediate comeback to like the same people. But man, that was one of the best Godzilla movies I've ever watched.
Also, do you hear speculation as to like what's going on with at least with at least when it comes to the title.
No, not title wise. So what so
essentially
saying?
Like it's going like from minus one to minus zero, and theoretically a third one would be Godzilla 1, right? Mm. And people are speculating that, like, okay, it's gonna mirror Godzilla's trajectory, or at least alignment, from evil in minus one to perhaps neutral in minus zero to being kind of the protector in Godzilla 1.
Hmm. Interesting.
If they did that, I'm here for it. Like, hey, you seeing Godzilla, just like how Godzilla's progression from the Showa era as him being the unstoppable monster to him being the good guy, or at least being mostly neutral in the Heisei era, to modern Godzilla basically being the good guy.
It's really interesting you say that, because the three best Godzillas, in my opinion, you can rank the order however, are first Godzilla movie ever created, Godzilla Minus One, and Shin Godzilla. In all three of those movies, Godzilla is straight up the villain of the movie, but he's also a representation of like a bigger kind of he's like a metaphor. Yeah, he's like a metaphor. Now, don't get me wrong, I love all the movies where he fights big monsters. But with that, it just takes on a different tone, and all those other movies are like generational Godzilla movies. So I wonder if they go that route, especially with the emphasis on the humans in like the first one, how do they get to that point in the last one where it's like Godzilla's a protector while still keeping the quality story-wise of the first one?
That's a good question. It could be a case where, like, hey, maybe they, unfortunately, they do still follow like the same family.
Mm.
And as like, and then like each movies, you kind of start seeing like maybe their opinions on Godzilla change over time. Or like you see Godzilla doing acts, like, of course, like him facing off against, because they can't be just a Godzilla sequel where he's just the antagonist, because then it's just a rehash of Minus One.
Yeah.
So more than likely, it's going to be a case where he's going to be fighting something.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's in the him fighting something, hopefully not be Biollante made out of Norco. It could still be Biollante made out of someone else, but not her. But it could be a case where each movie's like him fighting something, and that something is the bigger threat out of the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh snap, we gonna need Godzilla's help to take that out, deal with Godzilla later.
Could be a story of forgiveness also built in there, but I mean, the first one had a story of like self forgiveness built into it to an extent. If it's the same people, let them cook. I'm a watch it either way. Don't
show get, right. I'm gonna be that theater.
Don't get me wrong. I'm gonna watch it either way.
Show right. Say we just speculating at this point. They could legit be doing it in another, taking it a whole different direction.
Godzilla could be fighting a giant cockroach, and I'd watch it.
Godzilla could be fighting just a giant human, and I wouldn't care.
What's his name? Ultraman? Jet Jaguar?
Man, hey, bring Jet Jaguar into this. Oh wait, that'd be a case of him still being the evil of the two.
But at least it's slightly different. But yeah, I'm excited either way. And unlike some properties that we talked about at the top of the show, they haven't given a release date. So
smart. Release it when they release it, and we'll be there when it's time.
Exactly. All right, so let's get into our plugs and get up out of here.
All right, so for our Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, and Threads, we're under BlurCity22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date to all notifications and our release schedule. We also have our Discord linked in the Instagram page, filled with pure degeneracy. We have our YouTube and our Patreon under BlurCityPod. Donate some extra cheddar. You get access to very exclusive episodes not before seen. We also have our email address, blurcity22@gmail.com. If you want to send like your thoughts on Predator Badlands, you what like episode suggestions, and even like you want to collab, go ahead and send the email to us below. But if you're trying to spam us with anything, it's getting sent to the death box, and the death box is where all things go, only to get atomic breath by Godzilla. And then also we have merch again after some major fan demand. We have merch once again, our Blurred City apparel, and it's also in our Instagram, so go ahead, copy some merch, you know what it is. And finally, I am the Jedi Born on Mustafar on Instagram and TikTok. However long we got TikTok left before it goes full American. What you got?
All right. For my individual author pages, we have my Instagram. That is Mitri_Dash. So Mitri_Dash. And for my X/Twitter, that is @TheMad-16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, that is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kindle. All right. So with quick housekeeping, next week, again, we will be going into our X-Men bag, talking about a character study of Magneto, breaking down his past, motivations, and potential future of the character. So with that, we will leave you some words of encouragement.
Here's my words of encouragement, all right? So just know, like, hey, even though others may not believe in you, you just gotta believe in yourself, gang. If you want to be out here and wanting to prove the haters wrong, make sure you have that grit, have that dog in you, and you can overcome any environment unless it's Planet Gemma.
Sometimes it's not the clan that you're born into, but the clan that you find that is the most important and helps you fully grow and develop as a person. So with that, we'll say it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.